job. Jennings and Macy in choir. It is now time for children's church. Yay. It's also time for big church. If any of y'all want to say yay, all right, good. All right, we're going to be in Proverbs again today. We were in Proverbs last week. The Proverbs are excellent. And in my opinion, I think the book of Proverbs is probably the best, just good, solid, practical advice on how to live our lives. If you're looking for advice on how to live, on how you should act, on things you should do, on things you shouldn't do, then the book of Proverbs is a great place to start. There's a lot of good things in there, and I will share with you today a few different proverbs, so you kind of have to jump around if you're going to try to keep up. They're written on the back of your bulletin. If you miss one and you want to know what that is, you can ask me afterwards, and I'll be sure to write all these down for you. It's really hard, though, to make a list like this, you know, to pick a few proverbs, because, I mean, you just about could write the whole book down. But for time purposes, we'll just look at a few good proverbs. They don't necessarily have anything in common, but there's good things in here for us. There's things that may speak to some of you today. And I would encourage you, I always say this every time I ever preach on Proverbs, I always say I would encourage you to read it, because I think that they are just that valuable to us. There is so much wisdom and instruction in there that is good. So if you're somebody that really doesn't read the Bible much, or hadn't read the Bible much, or maybe not don't understand some of the things in the Bible, but you want to get into God's Word more, then I would encourage you to look at the Proverbs. You will probably find just some good, easy to understand, practical advice there. Some of it you'll like, and some of it you'll kind of cringe, because it'll step on your toes a little bit. But that's one reason that it's so good for us. But let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, we come to you, and we thank you for your good word. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would see the wisdom in these Proverbs. God, you give us so much wisdom and instruction. I pray that we would listen to it, God, that maybe there's something in these verses today that we're going to hear that kind of hits home to us, dear Lord, that we'd hear what we need to hear, dear Lord, that we would seek to be those who are wise. God, that's what we want, or at least that should be what we want. If that's not our desire, I pray that you change our hearts, God, that we would be those that seek wisdom, that don't want to live in foolishness and the things of the world, but that we seek your wisdom and seek to grow in you, so that we can be a better witness for you, dear Lord, as we leave this place. So I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that your Holy Spirit would just take over today, that you'd free us from worries and distractions, and let us dwell on you and hear from you during this time. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading through some of these Proverbs over the last couple of days, I was reminded of going to my grandparents' house. Now, most of you in here remember Lena Pearl and Richard. And for years and years, they always had a candy bowl there that always had the Hershey assorted chocolates. Now, you've had these. You've all bought a bag of these. It's got a Hershey, regular Hershey. It's got Hershey Special Dark. It's got Crackle. And it's got Mr. Good Bar. And she always had a bowl of those on the table. And if that bowl ever got empty, my grandpa would say, "You need to get some more of that candy for Shan now." And every Sunday after church, we'd go there and we would eat lunch. But every Sunday before I'd eat lunch, I'd go to that candy bowl and I'd get me a couple of those Hershey Special Darks, and that would be my appetizer. And you may be saying, "Well, why did you think about chocolate while you were reading these passages?" Well, in a way, I kind of thought, that's what the book of Proverbs is. It's an assortment of different flavors, of different things. And some of them we may like more than others. Some of them we may gravitate toward. Some of them may be the Mr. Good Bars. We don't really like them. We'll eat them because that's all that's left in the bowl is the yellow Mr. Good Bars. But we don't go to that first, you know. We probably go to the, I go to the Hershey Special Dark first. That's me and my sister. We always fall over those. And then I'll get the Crackle. And then I'll get the regular Hershey. And if I'm just about to die, I'll eat a Mr. Goodbar. But that's worst case scenario. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, it's kind of like an assortment of candy bars. There are some in there that we read and we see, and they are good to us. And we turn to those, and they're beautiful. And there's some that maybe we don't read as much as others. But there's some that really connect to us. And these today that I'm going to cover are some of my favorites, or maybe I could even say they're some of my least favorites, and that they're convicting. Is they point out things that maybe we don't like to see, but the Proverbs are good because they point out things that we need to see. So let's look at a couple of Proverbs today and just kind of see some of the things that the Proverbs tell us about. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. Most of these will be pretty close together within a couple of chapters of each other. If you want to flip your bulletin over to see where we're going to get a head start, you can. But Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. Better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. Now, we live in a culture and a society that says you need to get more, you need to have more money, to have more nicer things, to have all of this stuff to have is good. And it's the American dream, and we deserve all of these things. But the problem with a lot of things, or having a lot of money, is that oftentimes they come with a lot of stress. So having a lot of stuff does come with a lot of stress. And sometimes we may think that, oh, not having very much or having very little is not a good place to be, or a sign that we're a failure, or whatever it may be. But the Proverbs tell us something different. The Proverbs would say, it's better to have a little bit and to be at peace than to have a lot and to be at strife. We have a lot of worries, and we have a lot of stresses, and we have a lot of pains in our life. And I think it's fair to say that some of these things we bring on ourselves. Sometimes we kind of overload our calendars. We begin to focus our attention and our energies to obtain the things that we want, that we think that are going to bring us some kind of satisfaction. But really, it probably only leads to strife sometimes. It just leads to pain and more stress when really what we desire is peace. And the Proverbs remind us of a simple truth. It's better to have a dry crust. It's better to have a crumb and to be at peace than to have a table full of food and to be filled with strife. When we got strife in our life, man, there's no enjoyment. It just leads to stress. And so maybe sometimes we simply need to simplify our lives. We need to have that little bit. Perhaps it's better just to have the most menial thing. That little bit of crust, that little bit of crumbs. Sometimes it's better just to have a little and to be content with the little that we have and to be at peace with that. Too often, we're discontent in our life. And our discontentment kind of drives us to get those things that we think are going to make us content. But our discontentment oftentimes drives us to be even more discontent and even more stressed. And so maybe there's a time in our life, and maybe for some of you it's the day where we simply need to say, you know what, it's time to slow down. Maybe I need to learn how to be content with a little and to find peace in Jesus Christ and not seek an abundance of things in this world that oftentimes only bring us strife. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The first to state his case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. Boy, I love this. I love this proverb. I think this is so important for us to remember this particular teaching. Somebody comes to you and they begin to tell you something, and they begin to tell you something about somebody else, or they begin to tell you something about something, and they make a pretty convincing case. And you may say, boy, I can't believe what they told me about so-and-so is true. But man, it sounds like it's true. But oftentimes when we hear things from somebody, it sounds true, but we need to remember that there's another side to the story. And that's what this proverb reminds us of, is that there's two sides to every story, or maybe three or maybe four sides to every story. And so we need to kind of pump the brake before we jump to conclusions. So many times we hear things in our world, maybe we hear it from a friend or a family member, maybe we hear it on the news or whatever it may be, and so many times the one presenting something to us makes a good case for it. But every man's case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. And so it's important for us in life, when we hear everything, is to make sure that we try to understand all aspects of that, that we try to understand every side of the story. Now, that's not to say that we think people that come to us are always lying, but it's it's wisdom for us to try to understand a matter and not jump to conclusions and not pass along information that may not be correct. That'd be a horrible thing. Somebody comes to you and tells you something and you believe them and you pass it on and it turns out not to be true. We probably are all guilty of that. And so when someone comes to you and tells you something, especially something that's pretty rough or pretty gossipy, that maybe we need to just take a step back and realize, well, maybe there are more sides to the stories that we encounter in life. And maybe we need to take another moment to think about those things and to process those things and to understand those things. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Man, this is one that in my mind I highlighted, I underlined it. It's so important. It's so important for us to recognize this advice. When we answer people, how do we answer people? Now, it's inevitable that in our lives we're going to encounter conflict. We're gonna come up against somebody, and it might even be somebody we love. It might not be that it's our arch enemy, you know. It might be that there's somebody we love, and a disagreement begins, and it might even be between a husband and a wife that your husband says something or the wife says something, and next thing you know, you're having a bad day, you're tired, and they ask you a question or they say something. And then what are you going to say? Well, this is where we need to take a second in our lives and pause when those times come. And we need to think about what we're going to say and how we're going to respond. Now, we should respond with a gentle answer. And a gentle answer is going to calm things down almost every time. And that's what this proverb tells us. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Now, I suspect if we were all honest today that there have been times that we have said that harsh word, that conversations and arguments that were just beginning could have just ended, but instead somebody tells us something that we don't like or we don't agree with, and we give a harsh word. We give a harsh response. And what does that do? It escalates the situation. Everything explodes. And you give the harsh response. And now they're going to give a harsh response. And before you know it, a situation has blown up. And there are people in this world, and you may know some of them, you may be one of them, that you were in an argument or know somebody who was in an argument, and it just blew up to this point where there was a hatred that built that people won't even talk to each other anymore. That they'll spend a lifetime holding a grudge and hating each other and wishing harm to each other and wanting to give that wrath to the other person in their hatred because of those harsh words that were spread. When so many times situations like that could be avoided if we just give a gentle answer. Now, it takes a lot of effort on our part. It takes a lot of prayer on our part, probably for some of us more than others, that we really need to pray and say, God, help me to be one who can keep his mouth closed. God, help me when that person comes against me or that person attacks me or that person says something I don't like. God, I pray that you give me the strength and the wisdom and that you would seal these lips, dear Lord, that I won't say a word. And God, should I have to say a word, then let it be a word that brings about peace. Let it be something that's gentle. God, help my words not to come across as harsh and hateful and demeaning and judgmental, but God, help my words to come across in a gentle way. And we may discover that our lives get better when we begin to do that. We may find that we can get ourselves out of a lot of situations before they turn into situations, simply by giving a gentle answer. This is a proverb, and there are tons of proverbs along these lines, but this is one that's beautiful because it tells us something that we need to hear and we need to strive to live by. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Kind of shifting gears here. That's one good thing about the Proverbs is they kind of are all over. They cover a variety of different ideas. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and He will give a reward to the lender. Now, this idea of helping the poor is all throughout Scripture. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. We see it all throughout the New Testament. And here this proverb reminds us of this truth that we see time and time again. And that is that we are supposed to be kind to those who are poor. But it even goes one step further. What does it say? It says that when we are kind to the poor, it is a loan to the Lord. Now that's a beautiful way to think about this. We need to realize that there are lots of needs out there. And God so many times blesses us with more than we could possibly ever need. But God also puts those needs of others in our path sometimes. And so we need to realize that what is important to God needs to be important to us. Now, maybe for some of you in this room, you see poor people or you see homeless people, you see needy people, and maybe you don't think much about it. But I think as Christians, we need to think something about it. Because it's pretty clear in Scripture that to care for the poor and the needy and the homeless and the widowed and the orphan, all of these things, I know that's not what the passage says, but all of these things are so important to God, and these things need to be important to us. And so we need to make efforts to be kind to those who are poor, to have some compassion, to be able to help them in whatever way that God may have blessed us so that we can help those who are in need. And there may even be a day that we are those who need to be helped. And so we need to remember that when we are helping those who are in need, that this is what God calls us to do, that this is what God desires. Now, as is the case with many things, God could do what He wants to do the way that He wants to do it. He could make every poor and needy and homeless person, He could meet all of their needs today with the Word if He chose to. He could speak it and it would be. But the way that God has chosen to carry out this mission, to carry out this responsibility, is through you and me. He's chosen you and I to do this work. He's chosen you and I to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He's chosen you and I to be those who are compassionate to those that we are encountering. He's chosen you and I to help the poor and the needy and the widows and the orphans. We are the way in which God chooses to work. Sometimes we may see a situation and we may say, why doesn't God work in this situation? Well, it may be that God wants to work through you in some situations. And so we want to be prayerful and say, God, are there ways that you want to use me? Are there ways that I can help the poor, dear Lord? God, don't let me miss opportunities. Because God chooses us. He chooses us to do the work. Jesus chose the 12 apostles and so many disciples that came after them. And Jesus chose them to help do the work. Now Jesus came and He established the kingdom of God through His death and through His resurrection for eternity. And Jesus came and He did the work and he preached to people and He taught to people and He brought healing. And He showed so many miracles and he left us with so many beautiful teachings. But Jesus has said, now I send you to do the work. And so God calls us, brother and sister in Christ, to be those who look after the poor. And this proverb is a good reminder of that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. This is kind of in a similar vein to what we just saw in Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. Now this is a good verse for us to remember because it is easy for us to become angry. Now again, it might be easier for some of us than others. Some of you may be in a spot of maturity and you're walking pretty good with the Lord, and maybe it takes a lot to anger you. Maybe others get angry at the drop of a hat. But ever how long it takes us to be angry, we want to be those who don't fall into that trap. We don't want to be those who give full vent to our anger. Now, it's easy for us to want to do that. It's easy for us to want to retaliate. When somebody does something to us or we feel like that we have been wrong, and maybe we have or maybe we haven't, but when we feel that way, we want to give full vent to that anger. We become angry. And so we want to lash out. If somebody does something to us, we want to attack them. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. At least that's what the Old Testament said, but Jesus gives us a better command. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But what does Jesus tell us? He tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Now that's hard to do. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy when somebody comes against you or does something to you. It's pretty easy to be angry. It does not take but a second for us to go from 0 to 100 on the angry scale. But it's not easy for us to keep our mouth shut. It's not easy for us to keep our calm. And perhaps proverbs like these are proverbs that we need to remember, that we need to visit often, that we need to pray over and say, okay, God, I don't want to be a fool. I would venture to say that probably a lot of times we don't like to think of ourselves as fools, but we need to read the book of Proverbs. Because sometimes, and this may not happen to you, I might just be preaching to me, but I don't like to think of myself as a fool, but sometimes I'll read through those Proverbs, and it'll say a fool does this, and a fool does that, and a fool does the other, and I'll say, uh-oh, I'm a fool. There's some of these things that I do. And maybe for some of you, you'd look at those lists, and maybe there's some things in there that you would say, you know what, I'm foolish. But that's why we come and read God's Word. That's why we read it at home. That's why we gather to look at passages like these today. Why? Because we don't want to be fools, hopefully. If you're in here today and you want to be a fool, please call me this week. I'd love to sit and talk with you. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think that we come to God's house because we want to grow in God. We want to grow in His love. We want to grow in His wisdom. We don't want to be foolish. Now, sometimes we stumble and fall and we give in to sin and we don't want to. And we say, God, I don't want to do this. And then the temptation comes and we stumble and we fall. That happens sometimes, even for Christians. But our desire should never be to live in sin and to live in foolishness. And that's why the book of Proverbs is so good, because it talks about the difference between wisdom and foolishness. If we look at the Proverbs and say, man, it says a foolish person does this, what do I do? Well, we stop doing that. How do we be wise? We look at those Proverbs that talk about wisdom and that call us to wisdom and that show us what wisdom really is. And so maybe for some of us today, this needs to be our prayer. God, help me to not be so quick to vent my anger. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. Well, that's the kind of wisdom that we want to pray for. God, give me that kind of wisdom. Because God, I get angry and I don't like to get angry. When I get angry, guess what we do? We begin to open our mouth and we begin to not give gentle answers. We begin to stir up trouble and conflict. And so when we learn wisdom, we may find that there is a lot of benefit to that in our life. When we learn wisdom, there's a certain peace that comes with that. When we learn wisdom, we're no longer seeking to be wise in our own eyes, as we talked about last week. A certain peace that comes with that. When we learn wisdom, we realize we're not living for anybody else. We're not living to impress anybody else. We're simply living for God. We're living for Jesus Christ. We're living for the commands of Scripture. We're not living for the world. There's peace in that wisdom. When we gain wisdom and we learn that, you know what, it's better for me just to keep my mouth shut. I could open my mouth and everybody could know I'm a fool, or I could keep quiet and who knows? Sometimes it's important for us to just keep quiet, even if we think we're wise. Sometimes it's important for us to bite our tongue. Sometimes it's important for us to watch what we say. And that's wisdom. And that's the kind of wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs. Time and time again. It's a short book. It's an easy read. You could read it in a couple of sittings, no problem. And I would encourage you to do it, because there's good instruction and advice for us today to see how God wants us to live. One more passage. This one's not in your bulletin. This is a bonus. No extra charge. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, and one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful reminder we see here in the Proverbs that I think, even in Proverbs like these, they are pointing us forward to the truth and the reality of who Jesus is. Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, or by mercy and truth, some of your translations will say. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as fools, and we don't like to think of ourselves as wicked, but we are today. We are wicked fools. We do things we shouldn't do. We give full vent to our anger. We open our mouth when we should keep it closed. We give in to sin that we shouldn't give in to. We pursue things of the world that we shouldn't pursue. We become proud. There's plenty of passages in Proverbs that talk about pride. We didn't even really touch on that today because we touched on it a little bit last week. But there are so many areas in our life that are just wicked, that are things that are just nasty and gnarly and dirty that God doesn't want to be there. But praise the Lord that God atones for our wickedness through Jesus Christ. Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, by mercy and truth. And what better example do we have of that than Jesus Christ? One who is loyal to the Father, one who is loyal to carry out His mission, one who was faithful to do what God called him to do. And that is what brings forth atonement for you and I today. That's what brings forth mercy for you and I today, that we do not get what we deserve, but that Jesus came and the Scripture says He is the way and the truth. And wickedness is atoned for by mercy and truth, or by loyalty and faithfulness. So we sit in this room today, and we're a bunch of sinners. And we do things we don't want to do. We say things we don't want to say. And on some level, we're wicked. And we're wicked fools. But I want to tell you today that there is hope. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is wisdom. And it's that type of wisdom that the Proverbs is calling us to. That we want to find that type of wisdom today. And that the wisdom of putting faith in Jesus Christ, it spills over into every aspect of our life. The Holy Spirit fills us. And so we desire to seek what God desires. We desire to be those who live in wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is the best book to show us what wisdom is. It's the best book to remind us that we are fools, that we are wicked. But praise the Lord that the story doesn't stop there. And even in this proverb we just looked at, we are reminded that there is atonement. But that atonement only comes through Jesus Christ. Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, and one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord. We talked about that last week, about the fear of the Lord. We want to be those today that know that one day we will stand before God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We will stand before a God who sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We will stand before God one day. And that should bring about fear. We should fear God. We should respect God. We should praise God. And when we recognize who God is, a perfect and loving and compassionate God, but a God of wrath, when we realize who that God is, there should be fear in us. And that fear should drive us to seek Him. Because when we realize how good God is, when we compare ourselves to God's standard and what God calls us to, we realize just how evil we are. But praise the Lord, there's atonement for our wickedness today. There's atonement for our foolishness. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us to repent of our sin, to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to follow Him, to seek to live by Him, to seek to live by the commands that we see in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in these very Proverbs and so many more like them that we look at today. I pray that we would find the wisdom of God today that we need, and it can only be found in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You. We thank You for these good words. Dear Lord, I pray that we would read these Proverbs today, dear Lord, not just the ones that we looked at, but that we'd turn to them from time to time, that we would refresh ourselves, God, that we would read your word with an open heart and an open mind so that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, God. I pray that you'd help us to be ready. Dear Lord, there may be some things that we read in there that we're not quite ready for. Some of these proverbs are kind of tough. They hit a little close to home. But dear Lord, we thank you for that. You give us these proverbs just for that purpose, dear Lord. You want us to be corrected. You want us to know right from wrong. You want us to know how to live. So God, we thank you for giving us your word to correct us. We thank you that you don't just leave us here to figure it out on our own, dear Lord, but you give us instruction. We thank you for Jesus Christ. That is true wisdom today. I pray, dear Lord, that each one in this room would know the wisdom of who Jesus is, that he gave his life on the cross so that their sins could be forgiven. God, I pray that we recognize the truth of your word. It says we are all sinners, dear Lord. There may be some in this room today, God, that are still walking in their wickedness and walking in their foolishness. I pray today that they would repent, that they would come before you, dear Lord, that they would ask you for forgiveness, that they would accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on their behalf, dear Lord, so that their sins would be atoned for today. God, I pray that maybe there are some in this room that are yours, but God, we got to always be on guard because we're always under temptation, dear Lord, to open our mouth when we shouldn't, say what we shouldn't say, to do what we shouldn't do, to act foolishly. I pray that you'd forgive us in those areas, God, where we sin. And I pray that you would help us to seek your word so that we can learn not to do those things, dear Lord. Strive not to do those things. We need you today, dear Lord. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.